Welcome to ACT Radio, Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we discuss how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
And we also discuss why a plant-based diet is the healthiest for humans and the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas.
Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Dr. Patricia Tallman. Dr. Tallman is a policy consultant, environmentalist, and author of The Restore Our Planet Diet. That's a little later in the show, but first some news.
On Monday, February 15th, members of the National Park Service in Montana and other agencies rounded up between 600 and 900 bison inside Yellowstone National Park and will soon send them to be systematically slaughtered. Yellowstone National Park officials started trapping bison as part of an annual effort to kill hundreds of the area's iconic animals through hunting or shipment to slaughterhouses. Government agencies aim to drive down the bison population by as many as 900 animals this year to reduce the mammal's centuries-old migration beyond the park's boundaries and into Montana. A plan calls for eventually culling bison in the park from about 5,000 down to 3,000. The Park Service's own biologists have said that the park is not overpopulated with bison, that the park could support twice the current number. The annual slaughter occurs because cattle ranchers who ship in their cattle to graze on grazing allotments don't want the bison to compete for grass. The excuse they use is that about half of the Yellowstone bison herd carry the disease brucellosis, which can cause cows to abort their calves. But there are no recorded cases of the disease being transmitted from bison to cattle. In 1995, Montana sued the National Park Service over bison migration into the state. The settlement created a plan requiring hundreds of bison to be captured and killed each year to keep the bison herd size down to 3,000 animals in the park. A record high 1,700 bison were captured in the park in 2008 and sent to slaughterhouses. Meat from the slaughtered bison is distributed among members of Native American tribes, according to the National Park Service. Elders of the tribes have urged tribal members not to accept the meat because the bison were not killed in a respectful manner, but the people of the tribes are poor and do take the meat. The National Park Service said in a guide to the controversy on its website, "We understand that many people are uncomfortable with the practice of capture and slaughter. We are too, so we're looking for additional alternatives." But no alternatives have been explored in the last two decades. Native American tribes have asked that the Park Service transfer so-called excess bison to tribal lands, but their requests have been ignored. The National Park Service has said it would gladly reduce its slaughter efforts, but said current state laws prevent it from transferring its overflowing bison population to anywhere except slaughterhouses. The National Park Service has disregarded its mission to protect wildlife in order to accommodate an invasive species, cows, and to protect the profits of cattle ranchers.
The Animal Legal Defense Fund won the first major victory in an Endangered Species Act lawsuit brought on behalf of endangered animals in captivity. As a result, ALDF is now working to ensure that the four tigers and three lemurs who are the subject of the suit will be rehomed to reputable facilities that can meet their needs as endangered animals. Relying on the testimony of plaintiffs' expert witnesses, hundreds of pages of U.S. Department of Agriculture inspection records, and countless admissions from the defendants themselves, the court cited the defendants' failure to provide suitable living conditions and proper care for their endangered animals in ruling that they had violated the act. The court characterized these violations as pervasive, longstanding, and ongoing, and concluded that the only way to prevent future violations would be to prohibit the defendants from keeping the animals. In addition, the court prohibited the defendants from ever acquiring endangered animals again without first proving an ability to care for them. ALDF brought the lawsuit on behalf of five Iowa residents who had visited the zoo on many occasions and who were distressed about the poor health and welfare of the animals there. The groundbreaking decision creates a precedent for endangered animals living in captivity throughout the United States. Too many zoos, roadside zoos, and private owners keep endangered animals who have complex biological, social, and intellectual needs in inadequate and squalid conditions. This is a major step to help move these endangered animals into situations much better set up to meet their needs. ALDF has several other Endangered Species Act lawsuits currently pending before federal courts, including a lawsuit on behalf of Lucky the Elephant, who lives in isolation at the San Antonio Zoo in Texas, and Candy the Chimpanzee, who lives in isolation at the Dixie Landing Amusement Park in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You can learn more about this lawsuit at ALDF.org.
The Center for Biological Diversity reports that the number of endangered Mexican gray wolves in the wild in Arizona and New Mexico has dropped to 97 last year from 110 in 2014. This is according to a just-released census by federal and state biologists. The troubling decline, which follows 5 years of annual population increases, was likely driven by the illegal killings of many of the 13 wolves found dead and the 11 wolves missing, as well as a low survival rate among dozens of pups born last spring. Further harming the population, two female wolves died during the census count after being captured in order to replace their radio collars. The center's Michael Robinson states that Mexican gray wolves in the Southwest remain in serious trouble, and it's clear they won't be on a real road to recovery until state and federal agencies step up and do what's needed to help them survive. He suggests that the government should start by retrieving the telemetry receivers that allow livestock owners to track radio-collared wolves, and it's unacceptable to give high-tech tools that strip the wolves of their ability to stay hidden to the very people who express their hatred for wolves and oppose these animals' recovery. The receivers have been loaned out for years despite high rates of unsolved illegal shootings as well as the disappearance of many radio-collared wolves under suspicious circumstances. The other likely cause of the decline, inbreeding, stems from the small population that is made up of closely related individuals lacking in genetic diversity, and this is correlated with pups dying before they mature. As many as 40 pups are thought to have been born last spring, but only half of them could be found last month. Scientists have repeatedly urged the release of more genetically robust wolves from captive breeding facilities into the wild. The Fish and Wildlife Service periodically announces that it will release wolves, but seldom follows through. During the entirety of the Obama administration, just 4 captive-bred wolves have been released. 3 of them died, and 1 of them was trapped and returned to captivity. Last fall, conservationists and wildlife biologists requested the release of at least 5 family packs of Mexican wolves into the Gila National Forest in New Mexico, but no action has been taken. The Center for Biological Diversity has 2 active lawsuits against the Fish and Wildlife Service over the Mexican wolf recovery. One suit seeks to compel the development of a Mexican wolf recovery plan, which the service has been promising to develop for more than 33 years. The other suit seeks to overturn regulations promulgated last year that permit increased killing of wolves and also block wolves from being allowed to disperse into the southern Rocky Mountains and the Grand Canyon region, areas that are necessary for the recovery. To learn more, go to www.biologicaldiversity.org.
Stay with us. Coming up next is a conversation with policy consultant, environmentalist, and author Dr. Patricia Tallman. In her book, The Restore Our Planet Diet, Dr. Tallman explains how choosing a plant-based diet is the most effective action you can take to mitigate climate change, water pollution, and rainforest destruction, and also to combat diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, and cancer. That's next on Animal Concerns of Texas.